This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Ben Standing is with us. He joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I was just telling Denton, we got no trick-or-treaters last night. None. I don't know why, but I was a little bit disappointed with that. But the good news is lots of candy for me over the weekend. Plenty of leftover candy for me. How did you do on Halloween?
Well, I wasn't really home. I was burning the midnight oil, working, and I was just, working a little bit. I just wasn't home, but I was on a text. I'm on a text thread with a bunch of friends, and they were all home, and they all have, you know, kids, and they were all saying the exact same thing you just did. And they don't live like exactly where you are. Some live around here, some live elsewhere, and they were all saying that the trick or treaters were way down.
Really?
The normal. Yeah.
Hmm. I wonder why. It was a beautiful night. It was warm. I think it was the warmest Halloween since 1950, Topper Shutt told me last night on Channel 9. I never watch local news anymore except for the weather. And I wanted to see if it was a record day, and he told me it was the hottest Halloween in 74 years. Ben Standing is with us. We'll talk some football now. That's better for all of you. So how healthy are they? There's definitely some injuries and some players being held out of practice this week, and I'm just wondering, what should we be concerned with? What shouldn't we be concerned with?
Yeah, I mean, the Cornelius Lucas injury after the ankle, after hurting his ankle last game, I think that's something to note. He's not practiced yet. He was in the locker room yesterday. I didn't see him wearing any, like, boot or anything, so hopefully that's a positive sign. But yeah, if he doesn't go today, then yeah, you'd have to, you know, seriously wonder if he's going to be available, even though you granted offensive linemen typically play through a lot. Frankie Louvu hasn't practiced so far this week. Now, that's sort of the way the timing of the week goes in terms of when we get updates and Dan Quinn and things like that. It's not that it slipped under the radar, but we really haven't had a chance to ask since he first got on there the first day. So I don't have any sense that there's a real issue, and sometimes they just give guys a break. So perhaps it's that, and obviously over the course of the year you're going to get banged up. So at the moment I'm not pressed or concerned, but we'll find out more today when Dan Quinn talks to us in a couple of hours or 90 minutes or so. And then there's Brandon Coleman with the he missed last week with the concussion. He was made available to the media this week, so typically that's going to suggest he should be okay. And he's been out there and all that. So I think those are the ones to keep an eye on. But, yeah, you know, by and large, they've been, you know, pretty good health, knock on wood, for them. So, that's a couple things we need to look at today.
So if Lucas doesn't go, Coleman can. Hopefully he starts, and Trent Scott is your backup there.
That would be the question. The
okay.
Point. And I think the Trent Scott, you know, I'm a nervous Nelly with these kinds of things, and I'm always like looking, how do you pinch up wherever you can? I do think that Trent Scott spot, you know, if he's got a play, that's not ideal. So, I do wonder, you know, they added a Bobby Hart to the practice squad this week. He's been a starter in this league. I do sort of wonder to look to pinch up there at some point, but yeah, for now, that's the story.
How much better is the defense right now than it was a few weeks ago?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at it. I think clearly they are playing with a lot of energy and a lot of effort. I'm not saying that they weren't in the beginning of the year, but they're doing that now, and it's all coming together a bit more. You know, early in the year there was talk of this lack of communication in the back seven or so. You know, we're not hearing about that anymore. The pass rush was quieter earlier in the year. They've been fairly consistent getting to the quarterback these days. I think the question is still for me, when they're going up against the better quarterbacks, which you're going to find in the playoffs, right? What then? Because those are the games where they've had the most struggles this year. It's just that they haven't had too many of those games for the most part. You know, last week Caleb Williams looked pretty befuddled for three quarters, and in the end he started making some interesting type throws that were working, and obviously I think at a baseline level they're pretty good. If the other team doesn't show up, they clearly, I think, now have enough to get it done. But I just still wonder a little bit when, if the other team is, you know, firing on all cylinders, as they say, then what? I think that to me is the question. But again, how, you know, what are we looking at here? You know, Jalen Hurts has left on the schedule a couple times. Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. It's not, you know, they don't have a murderer's row of quarterbacks coming up either. But some, but it'll be a little bit better, a little bit tougher competition, you would think, than it was the first eight games.
I forget exactly what your preseason prediction was on the show for the record, but now that we're at the midseason, I want to hear your revised record prediction.
I mean, I think I was pretty much at the over-under for the Vegas set, so what, like 6.5, 7, somewhere around there.
All right.
You know, I mean, at this point, how do you, you know, it's hard to argue others. And like, you know, just to, since you brought it up, like my, for a successful season, my baseline was Jaden Daniels looks the part, and they proved to be competitive game in and game out and not just getting run over like they were last year. Well, clearly both of those things have happened. It's just that all, you know, all the extra stuff has worked out better than expected, even deal with the offensive line, the other playmakers on offense, and so on. Not to mention the chemistry. That's a huge deal. This I haven't done the game-to-game check, but, you know, they're 6-2 right now. All they have to do to get to 10 is go, what, 4-5? So
yeah.
It's kind of
yeah, they can lose five games and be 10-7. It's hard to see them losing 5 of 9, to be honest with you. But if you want to go there, that's fine.
No. I'm saying, like, I kind of almost want to say 11, but they haven't had an 11-win season since the Super Bowl year in '91. And I think, what's the stat? Every other team in the league has gotten to 11 at least twice in that span. So it's saying a lot to even consider that kind of a conversation. Not to mention the recent history, you know, with the Zorn year and the Alex Smith first year, 6-2, 6-3, and then things fell apart. But now I know it's all different. I'm just saying this is part of the struggle with this. Part of the process this year is, you know, eradicating ourselves from all those types of negative thoughts. But man, I don't know how I'm not going 11 at this point, though. All right, I mean, you figure they win at least one of the Giants games, if not both. What else left? They got Tennessee, you know, Philly and Dallas both come here. They probably at a minimum split those, and then they just got to pick off one more. So yeah, I mean, I guess 11 wins. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, 11 may be. Who knows?
Oh.
I told Denton during one of the breaks, either yesterday or today, I said, are we getting carried away here? Because on one level, there's one thing that's actually now you can pretty much be confident about, I think, 8 weeks into the season, and that is that they're really good on offense. I don't see that changing unless you have injuries, of course. They're really good on offense, and their offense is going to give them a chance in every single game they play. It gave them a chance in the game against the best opponent on their schedule. They lost by 7 in Baltimore on a day where their defense could not get a stop, you know, basically. They still had a chance. You know, they played a really good offensive team in Cincinnati, and they won with great offense. That's a given, but nothing else has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. I think offensively, it's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're very good on offense, you know, right now.
I think the other, you know, again, because so much of this is new, including the people involved, we have to remember that, you know, Cliff Kingsbury history with the Cardinals was they would start off hot almost every year with one of the better offenses, and over the second half of the year, everything sort of went downhill to some degree. That the opponent, you know, whatever it was, they figured something out about what he was doing. The offense just simply wasn't running as efficiently as it was before. Again, it's all different people, all new everything. Kingsbury's already, we've already seen this year, he's made big adjustments to what he's done in the past. But I can't ignore that aspect of this either. So I think that is it's sort of a weird concern to an extent, but it is probably the one thing to note about the offense. But yeah, I mean, but the rest of it, you know, like I said, the times they've gone up against good quarterbacks this year, they have given up a lot of yards and points. And, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. And they've had adversity in terms of specific games, like, I mean, putting aside the Hail Mary part of it, right? You know, I mean, they had to come back and back in week two against the Giants.
Right.
You know, when the other teams are scoring a lot of points, you know, that they still have to keep going on offense, et cetera. So but what happens when there's, like, actual adversity? They kind of haven't had any yet because, there's, you know, it started with low expectation, and then they just keep winning for the most part. So does adversity happen? And if so, how do they respond? Again, I'm not too worried about that, especially with the way this quarterback is handles himself and the way Dan Quinn also handles himself, and therefore the team takes sort of cues from both of those guys. But, you know, that's the part, because this is all different. I can't – we don't have a roadmap to definitively say we've seen this happen before, but, yeah, there are obviously positive signs of that question.
Yeah, I mean, the Kingsbury thing is an interesting thing. I think, you know, something that we don't know as it relates to something that we've got, you know, confidence in offensively is what will this California, Arizona, you know, Baton Rouge quarterback look like in cold weather? You know, there are quarterbacks that are, you know, indoor quarterbacks, warm weather quarterbacks. We've never seen, I don't think he's ever played in a cold weather game. I don't think he played in any in his college career. And so, you know, it's also possible you don't have any cold weather games, you know, even at home in January. I mean, it's not going to be warm, but, you know, you could end up playing the NFC title game in Detroit, indoors, or in Minnesota, indoors, or in San Francisco. Who knows? But, yeah. All right. Let's talk about the game on Sunday. Tyrone Tracy, you know, he was concussed in the Monday night game after he had rushed, by the way, for 145 yards against that Pittsburgh defense. But he was back at practice yesterday and limited. They actually can run the football, the Giants can. And so if he were out, that would be a big deal. But how do you see this game? What are your, you know, two or three important keys to beating the Giants on the road Sunday?
Well, one thing I wanted to sort of say about this, I remember earlier in the year, like when I would have some discussions with fans or others, and they would talk about, you know, well, you know, if they can execute in this specific way, they have a chance against this team, or if they can slow the other team down this way. And I was like, you know what, none of that really matters at all. We're still at the moment until proven otherwise, looking at just a team that's trying to find itself, right? None of that matters. Just go out there and play, and whatever happens, happens. Now, because of where they are, and because of where we are in the season, I do think it is now we can start saying, okay, if they can handle this, then they can win the game because we've already seen that they're succeeding in so many areas. So I think in this case, you know, the Giants have a pretty good front seven still, right? I mean, Dexter Lawrence might be playing as well as any defensive lineman in the league. He leads everybody in sacks, and he's a defensive tackle. I mean, that's just a crazy scenario. So he's excellent. Brian Burns is very good. Yeah, they're missing Kayvon Thibodeau, but Ojulari has come in and replaced him and picked up the slack, et cetera. So their front seven defensively is good, so that'll be a good challenge for Washington's offensive line. Of course, they also pretty much nullified Lawrence in that first game. So, you know, they already know each other. You know, by the way, this is also the first game they will be playing a team for the second time with everything with Kingsbury's offense, with Jaden Daniels, et cetera. So I think that's going to be key you know, in terms of on offense, what they need to do. And then on the other side of the ball, look, I mean, Malik Nabers absolutely torched them in the opener. That was the last we kind of saw of Michael Davis in the cornerback rotation because of that game.
That was the last time we saw Michael Davis. That's funny because we certainly haven't seen him. He's been active, though, right?
He's been playing special teams, but in terms of the corners, like even Forbes has been ahead of him when they've, you know, gone to another guy.
Yep.
So, I still you look at those corners and you still are like, you know, we'll see. But, you know, obviously Daniel Jones is while he has torched Washington historically, he's also struggled against Dan Quinn. He did look okay in that first game, though. But, yeah, I mean, finding a better solution for Nabers, again, to the point of they have struggled against some of the better cornerbacks in this league. Well, they've also had issues, or best quarterback, sorry. They've also struggled against top wide receivers. That was more earlier in the year, I grant you that, but again, this is the second time they'll see Nabers. So, you know, if you slow him down and you mentioned that their running back issue, you know, they don't have much else to work with. So, So, I mean, I think those are, you know, just to keep it simple, I think those are probably the two areas that I would look at. I'm assuming also the Giants will have a kicker this week. So, they'll have to overcome, their opponent having an actual guy that can make field goals, unlike last time.
I'll get your prediction in a moment. What are you hearing from the coaches? I mean, I've watched the press conferences, but I sense that there's a real belief that Johnny Newton's developing into a major impact defensive player. Do you think that's what they believe, and what do you think?
I believe that's what they think, and obviously his college career, speaks for itself. You know, he was always sort of on that late first, early second border, and it's hard to say for sure. There's other talented players that teams picked, but probably that foot injury that he was dealing with at that time probably dropped him down some people's boards. But boy, I mean, he is just such an impressive player. I spoke to his college coach, Brett Bielema, way back around the time of the draft, and had been intending to write a story on Newton, but because of the injury, and then he was out for a long time, but I didn't get to it until this week, and I wrote about it yesterday. And obviously the coach is going to say nice things about his former player, but what he says looks accurate, that he's obviously a very powerful player, but he's got like crazy speed, like for a guy that size. Bielema said he probably would have run under a 4.8 40 if he had at the combine if he hadn't gotten hurt. He talked about that, this is a guy who is probably as intellectual on the field as a lineman as anybody he's ever coached, the way he's able to like study the opponent even in game and find ways to take advantage of whatever weaknesses are out there. And I think we're seeing some of that. His game this week, take PFF for what it's worth, but he was one of the highest ranked defensive linemen in the league, period. And, he's just getting going. So, I think there's a lot to like. And, look, I believe that the pick itself was a best player available type pick, but it may turn out to be ultimately also the a need pick because John Allen may have played his last game here, for a variety of reasons. And, Newton, it looks like a guy who could be next to Daron Payne, for the foreseeable future, and I do think there's a lot of hope with him.
Trade deadline is Tuesday. What are you expecting? I mean, for a while you've thought that this wasn't going to be super active. What are you thinking now?
Yeah, so I did a deep dive, but I wrote a story about this earlier in the week. I still, there's been no signs, as far as I can tell, in talking to people around the league, and obviously they haven't done anything, that these guys are going to do anything of note. Sure, there's always the possibility of trading a late day three pick to pick up some veteran or whatever. But in terms of like some splashy move, I still don't see it. And part of what I was laying out in the story I wrote this week was, you can't look at these things independently. You can't just say they're 6-2. They got to make a move. Well, what about, did you look the next year? What's the next year's team look like? And I laid out, just kind of what this team has on the books right now in terms of starters and players. And, the reality is we signed a lot of guys to one-year contracts. You don't have a lot of guys left. So for next year. So that's something that's got to be considered. And I kind of laid that out a little bit. But, yeah, I still don't see that much. Cornerback would certainly be the position for me that I would go for it. And, defensive line, they've been beat up a little bit. And obviously they lost Allen. And, I guess, look, if there's a receiver out there that makes sense, sure. But clearly the group that they've had, even beyond McLaurin, they found ways to make them successful every week. So it's not nearly the screaming need that I think we all thought it would be a couple months ago.
All right, prediction for Sunday.
Boy, I mean, the Giants, it always seems like they get them at least once, but the way both these teams are going right now, give me Washington 27-17.
All right. 27-17, 7-2 on Sunday afternoon as we go past the halfway mark of the season. That'd be pretty incredible. Thanks. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Always, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody, at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. Last Man Standing is his podcast, and he is totally worth the subscription to The Athletic. I'm a subscriber, and I would urge any Skins fan to be a subscriber as well. He does a great job. David Aldridge does a great job. All of them do. All right. Up next, we'll do some Denton news. We will get keys to a win over the Giants this coming hour. Smell test, college football preview coming up, NFL weekend preview. We'll go up to New York, get a guest on to talk about the Giants, the state of the Giants as well. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.